The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning or good afternoon, as I say. This is Ben Vigin on the Deadline Report, care of Fresh FM, the funkiest little radio station in all of Funky Land and all the other places that have got cool and funk in them. Anyway, today we are going to go and have a look at at the Epstein files. No, we're not, because they don't exist. Democrats get elected. Jeffrey and his girlfriend end up in jail for trafficking. Trump, Epstein's closest, which were basically, that is to say, Epstein was Clinton and Trump's close associate for two decades. Trump then gets elected and campaigns on the promise to expose the Epstein clients and crooked Hillary. I said, never mind that Bill was actually his friend for a long time. And Trump gets elected and suddenly it becomes what list? We all know this particular bit. And also it's very interesting looking at the situation, like there's, you know, a lot of this talk about linking it to Israel and blackmailing, which we're going to get into that because that is a solid connection. But there's also, if you pay very close attention, there's also been an attempt by anti-Semites and racist people to basically kind of use as, oh, the Jews. Now, I'm going to get into this before any further, because when we're going to show, we're going to look at the fact that actually this goes beyond Israel, and that even in some ways Israel's foreign policy is a result of its own leaders being compromised. People have still got in their heads that the world's like, you know, dominated by state actors, when in actual fact it's becoming increasingly clear that, you know, certain corporations have more excessive power than the state. And there are other players out there. There's transnational crime and there's different kind of cables and cartels which all operate. And, the blackmail's not new. It's been around for a long time. But we're going to get into some of the stuff, and I just want to make it clear that, you know, while Israel does feature very prominently in this and has for a long time, I think we, you know, need to be careful. It's like that old saying of, while everybody in the mafia may be a Catholic, it doesn't make everybody who's a Catholic in the mafia. And I think this is also true. And when I use the words Zionism, what I'm referring to is an element within the Israeli government, very affiliated with the military-industrial complex, and that's my context. I'm not attacking all the people of Judaism, and that's not my intention. So I want to add that caveat very, very from the get-go. But it was also interesting because, again, when you sort of start to look at some of the players in this, is that, and as you sort of look into it, we'll come across increasingly things like think tanks, like the Project, well, the Policy Exchange Group, which is, I think we're all going to try to mention them a couple of weeks ago, and just they wouldn't pop into my head, so there they are. The Heritage Foundation, which is very much closely affiliated to the Project 25, the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030, and as I've already talked to you about Policy Exchange, but the UK Policy Exchange System on the social credit system, which has been linked to PM Rishi Sunak, who's also his father-in-law is doing that for China. And again, that's one of the very interesting things. Like, I investigated the BCCI and, you know, lots of corruption of drugs go into the CIA. And it's always kind of occurred to me, the one thing that you never see is it never goes into the corruption never takes place in China. And when you go and you look at all these things, like even the Bilderbergers, you know, they sort of, you know, Trump talk about China being the enemy. But, you know, when, for example, Richard V. Allen, who was a very much neocon and tied up with the Iran-Contra affair that we're going to get into, you know, it was very, very anti-communist. But when you listen very closely, he was the one that actually kept Ronald Reagan on the one China policy. And he was also investigated in the 1960s for putting money into Nixon, or 70s actually, money into the Nixons from China to get Nixon to do the special relationship. And again, that Chinese money has, it's, you know, everyone goes on about Russia, but we have seen that money turn up in the Clinton administration for James Riady, who, wonderful photo of him being in New Zealand photographing Bill Clinton at the time when James Riady was wanted for 123 illegal crimes. And we also saw that same money trail going up through people that were supporting Obama. So, you know, it's this idea of money and corruption all being, you know, a Jewish conspiracy. No, there's plenty of people out there willing to infiltrate and take control of governments. Again, my big problem in New Zealand is that we've nearly got 40% of our parliament is now not born in New Zealand. It's not an issue that I have issue with them being, you know, you have to be in New Zealand to be an MP. My issue is that you can only, should be able to have one passport. If you're a politician, that's what it is with America. You can have dual citizenship in America, but you're not allowed to run on, you know, if you're going to run for office, then you've got to renounce your first country and be solely an American citizen. And I don't think that's an unfair system, which we don't have in New Zealand. Back to Epstein. Of course, also we're going to talk about Rex 84, because basically at the end of the day, what I see this all happening is, what the purpose of these blackmailers are, it's basically about creating AI systems that can do this massive all-round surveillance. And again, I was listening to an interview about a mathematician from Harvard, and he's saying how Epstein was very much into recruiting mathematicians and picking their brains and, you know, having these very serious, you know, discussions. And partly is, I think, probably because Epstein liked to think he's a very smart guy. But the reality is also, I think, was the question was, somebody was wanting money because they wanted information for codes. The more data you can get, the harder it is to make your codes safer. You can also vice versa crack them. And for cryptocurrency. So I think that was, again, pointed that there was some bigger guys behind Epstein than himself. What we do know so far is we have the list of the to Epstein origin, which of course mentions, you know, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump. We know that because of it, Gates actually got booted off. If you go to my website for next, actually should be up by now, Shipping News number 46. We've got a few other characters there on that particular list, and some of them, you know, like there was, had quite a huge influence into politics and entertainment and the science and financing with the things that Epstein really kind of targeted. Now, we also know that there's a picture of the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, holding up photo opportunity. These phase ones are the files. We're going to be looking through them. And then she turns around and says, what files? And now it's come back to, oh, we're going to release the ones that are credible because apparently it turns out there might be some stuff which is actually damning to Trump. So we're not going to get to see that stuff. It's all rather farcical. And again, it's the people go, oh, the mega, you're stupid mega. So I think you need to go to the United States to start to really understand that what it is the American dream is failing. And Trump came about not because MAGA people were stupid, but because they were being left behind and he offered them something. Now, we all know that what he offered them was a lie, but it was still better than what they were getting. And no one's really addressing that issue, is that this whole issue of neoconservatism has, you know, come about because of the impact or damage of neoliberalism, which is also true here in New Zealand. We know that JP Morgan paid $290 million to the Epstein victims and $75 million to the Virgin Islands, which I don't say my story about. The actual president of the British Virgin Islands, today, I can't remember, he's actually just been done for money laundering and all sorts of things. And I don't think we've really paid enough attention to why the attraction was for Epstein to Virgin Islands, which is a very strong history in the element of money laundering. We know that 30 hard drives, blackmail tapes were taken from Epstein Mansion. Actually, what actually occurred is even worse than that, because what one of the FBI agents testified to was that they went there, they found the safe, they had to cut it open, it had diamonds, it had cash, it had multiple passports, and it had hard drives and CD-ROMs in it. And according to the FBI agent, they had to leave it there because, I mean, biggest belief, they didn't have a warrant to take that material. They cut it open, but they didn't have a warrant to keep the contents out. That point alone, people need to focus on. But when they came back, it had all disappeared, and they asked one of the Epstein's, you know, curious, and that was the end of that matter, as they say. We know that on the 11th hour, there's a minute missing at the end, which seems kind of a bit weird. And that's the one thing that bugs me about why they have done a forensic examination and found that it's actually missing a minute, which again, nobody wants to actually address that issue or, for, you know, like that. That's the thing that frustrates me. That obviously has been tampered with. Where is the venue where you can find, prove that there's tampered evidence and actually get that issue factor investigated? It just seems incredible. And we know that Dan Borgino, who's the ex-Secret Service agent, who I think was both Bush, he was under the Bush administration and I think might have been Obama administration before he went to run for Congress. And he's standing next to Pam Bondi when she told him the files, which apparently don't exist. But then now they apparently do, but they're going to release the credible ones. And James Comey, I mean, I'll get to that in a second. Let's take a little bit of a break. Let's go with Marnie, because this is what this is all about. And this is on Ben Vigen on the Deadline Report, care of Fresh FM.
Money! get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack. Money, it's a hit. Don't give me that too good, good bullshit. I'm in.
This is Ben Vigin on the Deadline Report, Kira Fresh FM, and we're looking at Epstein and Rex 84 today. Okay, so carrying on the things of what we do know. We know that Epstein was born and raised in Brooklyn, and he attended the Cooper's University at NYU Courant Institute, both of which he left without a degree. He's not really, when it comes down to applying himself, but actually there seems to be, he likes to be talk smart, but he's not necessarily is that smart. However, he ends up teaching at the very, very prestigious Dalton Academy, which I think even gets mentions in the Dead Poets Society, and then gets fired for inappropriate relations with the young students, basically going to pub parties where the students were there and everyone think this is wrong. And he was hired by Donald Barr, who's a very, very interesting chap, son of an agent, Bill Barr of the OSSS, which who I'd like to know, I'll be finding digging into more, who was also, that's the Donald Barr, was the author of Space Relations, a book about alien sex traffickers, very, very wealthy aliens who then turn around and start getting, you know, into sex trafficking and want world domination. Donald Barr was the father of Attorney General William Barr. William Barr not only served under the Bush administration, and in fact, he was a CIA lawyer from 71 to 77, but he then served under the Bush administration and very, very much around the peripheral of the Rex 84. And he went on to pardon. Basically, he was the one that gave the approval to invade Panama in 1991. That time, Noriega was proving to be a bit of a problem. Originally, he had been an asset of the CIA. And he let his state be used by the bank, the credit, BCCI, Bank of Credit Commerce International, which was used as a laundering asset by the CIA, the Saudi Arabians, the Israelis, and they were using it to fund off terrorist organizations and launder money and do all sorts of naughty things, including fund the Taliban and Osama bin Laden. And so I always had that 9/11, like the wish about the Saudi Arabians involved in 9/11 is that America's not really positioned to say too much because they did a lot of very naughty things to the Saudi Arabians, and their intelligence officer, who's, they call him the Silver Fox, is no fool at all. So he will have heard the dirt on all of them. So, you know, they probably don't want to talk about Saudi Arabia 9/11 because they know that, you know, Saudi Arabia has got the dirt on them. And that's something that Saudi Arabia really, really specializes. They are the kings of blackmail. They make the Israelis look like chump change. And so under the Noriega's behave himself, he was proving a bit of a problem because at the stage the Iran-Contra affair had come out, all this illegal foreign policy that they're running, the illegal running of Mujahideen, the Contras and Nicaragua, and very, very touched upon was this issue of Rex 34, which we'll get into in a second as well. And so they needed him gone, and he had been spending a lot of, Noriega has been spending a lot of time with Michael Harari, who is a former Mossad agent who very much tied with the affairs of BCCI and kind of disappeared off the screen after the BCCI event. But very important to understand that he was operating outside of the realms of official Mossad. Maybe that was for plausible deniability, but they really didn't want to have a lot to do with him. And he had a bit of a beef against a lot of people in Israel. So if you're looking for people to blackmail, and get the issue of BCI also was that when it collapsed in 1991, it collapsed to the tune of $2 billion, which just disappeared and has never been seen. So, and that's again one of these questions that we talk about even before Epstein, is where did the money from BCCI go? No one's ever really answered that very awkward question in the room. But because of this situation, the Iran-Contra, people went to jail or convicted, and what actually happened was that Barr turned around and said, oh, well, let's give these six people a pardon, including Admiral Poindexter, the creator of Total Information Awareness, which is going to be very, very important to this Epstein story and subsequent mass surveillance issue. And Total Information Awareness was basically me and my basics. They'll just have to call me Captain Basic. The Total Information Awareness was the digital arm of Rex 84B, which was a contingency plan which came out of another operation in the 1970s under the equally, it might have been Nixon government actually, but the idea was that they were going to, in a state of crisis, go around rounding up political dissidents, mostly profiled to be racial immigrants, and they would put them in detainment containment. See what I said? Dodge that one. Put them in containment camps. Which, when you look at what's happening with ICE, this is exactly the story that when people were talking about FEMA camps in the 1990s, and they were being dismissed. It's like, well, look what's happening now, guys. This is exactly the model which we were talking about. The only thing was that those ideas got hijacked by the right. And it's the same situation when we turn around, try to get someone to talk about the Agenda 2030 and 15-minute cities. Again, I had Alexa Forbes, councillor from Otago, a very wonderful woman. She said, oh, that's all conspiracy theories. And they say, well, is it Alexa? Like, look at Donald Trump's freedom cities. They really are. That's the extension. That was the idea of the sustainable 15-minute cities. Yeah, I get it. But his version is you've got a concentration camp where, if you're lucky, this taco bowl has a single monopoly on it. That's what he's proposing. So it's not actually as far-fetched or conspiracy theories. It's just once you take the politics out of it and you look at what these contingency plans are, they're ruthless. And you don't want to give them in the hands of people that really are not following due process, which appears to be the case in the United States of America, although we have the situation happening here in New Zealand as well. We'll come back to Total Information Awareness because we'll just also talk about the Wexner. You know, in 1991 is when Epstein started getting, first of all, he's working for JP Morgan, Bear Stearns, JP Morgan. And the issue about these particular banks, along with Barclays, is that afterwards they just kept on getting done all the time for money laundering, along with Deutsche Bank and with New York Bank, to the point that either they've been reckless or somebody was telling them, well, you're going to launder this money or else we're going to show you those naughty, naughty pictures. And I think that was one of the big things about the issue about the blackmail was King Epstein. You know, not only did he have a hand in designing things like the Robin Hood Foundation, which again has a link to Jacinda Ardern, which nobody wants to talk about. What, Jacinda, what was that soup kitchen you were working for? What was it called specifically? Why exactly did John Griffin, the CEO of Robin Hood Foundation, offer you his mansion for his meeting? So Robin Hood Foundation links to Epstein, which also has links to all these celebrities, many, many of whom are on the Epstein list, for example, Oprah. And there was the Clinton Global Initiative, again, repeated on many of the same characters. And I said, Trump's Secretary of Commerce, who's very much involved in weather, you know, privatizing weather and, you know, weather manipulation technology, along with Peter Thiel, things like Rainmaker, which Peter Thiel's connections, and Tamara Ion and Howard Ludnick, and I think Neil Jacobs, part of all very much involved in these companies involved in privatizing weather. But in the case of Lutnick, who's again a very, very prominent voice in the Jewish lobby, military industrial complex area, he was actually Epstein's next door neighbor. And I think their houses actually shared a garden. And like Epstein, he went from being Clinton to a Trump supporter. And there were fundraisers actually happening in Howard Lutnick's house. And I believe they said, I think they shared a common garden. But this was going around about the 1990s when Epstein started, you know, gone from a basically a college dropout to somebody who had access to all these billions of dollars. And he was working directly with the Wexner Foundation and the Wexner Heritage Foundation, which is very, very similar to the neoconservative Heritage Foundation connected to XD84B and the Reagan administration. But it was the Jewish arm, if you like, or the Zionists. And we've explained what I mean by that. And Epstein's behavior wasn't really about promoting Judaism. It was about helping himself. And when he got found out, it was like Wexner did nothing about it. So again, in terms of everyone said, oh, it's a Jewish conspiracy. To me, it looks more like Wexner was actually, he was the one compromised. And so it was, you know, it was, again, when we get to the issue of who's controlling whom, it doesn't necessarily have to be a particular state agent that we're dealing with. And I actually think mostly the money is privatized. James B. Stewart, who wrote, who was asked to write a book, an biography on Epstein and declined, but said, you know, he interviewed Epstein and it was clear that he knew the rich and powerful and had the photos to prove it. He also would, you know, talk about the fact that he knew, you know, what their sexual preferences were, what their recreational drug uses were. And, you know, he was very sort of boastful about it. But Baker also makes the note that when it came down to looking at his notes about what Epstein actually said that he could prove concretely, he was very good at actually, you know, speaking things up. But when it came to hard details, they were often lacking. But we do know that in that safe that was recovered, there was a passport with the destination of Saudi Arabia and said that Epstein was in Saudi Arabia. Okay, so one of the connections of Epstein to Saudi Arabia again was this insider turned around and noted that he, you know, went off to Saudi Arabia on election day and the same time that Jeff Bezos was there. And there was, you know, lots of people made lots of, you know, draw dots and dots connections about that. But at the end of the day, the reality for me was like, it, you know, Saudi Arabia is a big place. Just because you're flying into a place that has the guy who's the king of it happens to be at home isn't such a big deal. I think probably what's more interesting is the fact that at that particular time that the king of Saudi Arabia was interviewing Jeff Bezos, or they were having talks, Jeff Bezos then would get his phone hacked using the Pegasus software. And it's the role of Pegasus which then turns around and makes the significance of Epstein, you know, because of course Epstein is this amazing, you know, blackmailer. That's where it starts to get kind of interesting. Again, we start to get close to the issue of the Israeli intelligence, military, industrial complex, which doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as the state or, you know, of the Judaism itself. But Pegasus, they did court cases. They couldn't do anything against the companies that were running Pegasus, which was NSO, which was named after three guys from the Israeli unit 8200 initials, because they weren't actually being run by the Israeli government. That's my first point. There was a private operation. But what we did manage to find out was that this Pegasus software had been sold to Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, which we know was using it to spy on Jeff Bezos, United Arab Emirates, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Kazakhstan, and many, many, many other places. And again, the NSO Cube have spin-offs that had organisations. For one, for example, is in New Zealand, it was called Cobweb Technology. This is one of the firms that Trump's now turning to use software to hunt down immigrants with ICE and, you know, carry out everything that they talked about in Rex 84B is now being carried out using this particular technology. It came out of this technology that was being invented in the United States to track money launderers. It got stolen by the Justice Department. By the event of the inventor, then in all court cases back this up, and this is not just conspiracy theory, this is solid document proof, and then got sold off to all these countries through these privatized people that were, again, linked very closely to BCCI, but they also put their own backdraw into it. So people thought they were buying software to spy on other people, not realizing that they themselves were being spied on. The same thing actually happened with the Phantom Secure Network involving Cameron Altus and all these major gangs that are going down at the moment because they were using privatized phones and not realizing that the phones actually had little networks hidden in the back of them, backdoors. But in New Zealand, we also, Cobweb, we've got four different agencies, New Zealand Immigration, New Zealand Business Ministry, Industry, the police, and there's one other, Internal Affairs, have all done contracts over 12 years with cobwebs technology, including the National and the Labor government. Immigration said, oh, they use it, but they never use it. But I've got actually newspaper stories that contradict that. So I think they're actually lying. And I think that's a very, very big. And I think we need to, again, this issue here is that due process is not being followed. And we're getting very, very nasty technology being used to spy on civilians and activists and journalists, which is going way beyond the realms of what security intelligence services are meant to be doing. And in fact, oddly enough, it's SIS that actually stepped up to the plate and said, well, actually, you know, this is really not right that these guys are going around infiltrating organisations, not just spying on them, but actually encouraging people to do things that they probably wouldn't. And I can think of one American who we know, we can find his name, an operation, the Uru is in 2007 stirring up activists there, but the same guy can then be found stirring up right-wing activists during the 2015-2016 elections. So this guy's working both sides of the street, and these are sort of the actors that we need to be very, very careful about. We also know a lot about Pegasus because of the death of Jamal Khashoggi, and I'll hold it there because I want to get into that because it also goes into Vision 2030, which is kind of like the it's like the Saudi Arabia version of Rex 84B, and it's also been something that a lot of very people have been conned in thinking it was about progressiveness, and when in actual fact, from Jamal Khashoggi's murder, we now know that actually it's the opposite. And again, a lot of these ideas that come out of things like the 50-minute cities, which on the surface do actually have a sustainable purpose, but the point is what keeps getting happening is that the environmental arguments or the climate arguments keep getting hijacked by people who see this as an opportunity to make an opportunity out of crisis. And so that's the issue. It's not that you're, you know, going with, you know, geoengineering. You're not denying climate change by believing geoengineering is occurring. The question is how that technology is being utilized to effectively shrink the pie so that the people at the top have more and the rest of us have nothing. And we have to just live like peasants while they live these opulent lives of, which, you know, it's not just about having a slight kinkiness. It's about just very dark stuff that really we need to get it kind of get it out in the open, because it's now got to a point where once it becomes a conspiracy theory, now it becomes very clear that actually this is a tool of advancing people's power by getting them compromised. You support them, but you've also got the ropes on them. And this seems to be like a bubonic plague. It's epidemic. And all these organizations we talk about, you know, it can be found. So we'll revisit this Epstein and Rex 84B next week on part two on the Deadline Report Cube, Fresh FM.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.